I want to address the point you made about verse 1. It talks about Paul says us, which includes him. And he switches to the you. When he says Galatians 5:1 that Christ has made us free, wouldn't that include him and the people he's talking to, right? Us, him, and the one he's talking to.
Yes,
Okay, so you is the people he's talking to. So that would mean when he says he's made us free, that he's made Paul and the people he's talking to free, right?
When he says us, not when he says you.
When he says us, it would mean that he had made Paul, the writer, and the ones he's talking to free.
Yes.
Okay, wouldn't the you be the ones he's talking to? When he switches to the you, wouldn't that be the ones he's talking to? The second person is the one you're talking to.
No, he defines in the text in 7:2, he says, ye who are fallen from grace, or whosoever of you are fallen from grace, ye.
All right. I would just like to make a comment to the audience that we all know that you is the second person, and that means the people you're talking to. Us would be Paul and the people you're talking to. So the you would be the people he's talking to. Second person, anybody knows grammar knows that. And so you would be in the us that have been made free. And then it says they've fallen from grace. Now, I want to ask you about this. It says they have become entangled again. Now, doesn't that imply that they have been tangled once, untangled, and then tangled again the second time? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So that means that they were tangled and untangled and then tangled again, that means they were, when they became untangled the first time, they were saved, right?
No.
They weren't saved when they became untangled.
No.
But that's the us. Remember, the us is the people. He's not talking about the you there. Verse 1 is the us. The us became entangled again. So you admitted that means they were tangled once, untangled, that's the us, which you said have been made free from sin. And then they become tangled again. So is that, how did you, that's the us.
Question. Well, in answering your question, as a born-again Christian, I can go back to smoking, drinking, anything I want to. I'm entangled in the world again. That doesn't mean I lose my salvation.
So when verse 4 says you are fallen from grace, can you fall from a tree you never were in?
Well, the Bible says that God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for everybody and put His grace on all the lost sinners. Right?
Okay. Let's move on to Romans chapter 14. Now remember, this is parallel to 1 Corinthians 8, but let's look at Romans 14 since it does use the stronger word. Remember Romans 14:15, which is very parallel to 1 Corinthians 8:11. It talks about a brother. Now this is in Romans, so it's not in the tribulation period as he was dividing them up. This is a brother. Is that a brother in Christ? Romans 14:15? A Christian, a brother in Christ? As opposed to being just a brother in the flesh, a physical Jew.
Yeah.
It is. All right. Now, don't you understand this context? We talk about the same as me in 1 Corinthians 8, that if you were to know, for example, that eating meats under certain circumstances was not wrong, but you shouldn't do that in front of others and encourage them to stand against their conscience, right? We're pretty much agree with the interpretation of the context. Now, skip down to 14. Aren't we still talking about that same person who might eat meat when he thinks it's wrong? He's eating not of faith, or whatsoever is not of faith is sin, thinks it's wrong, but he eats anyway. He's not doing it of faith. And it says he's D-A-M-N-E-D, condemned. Would that mean lost?
No.
D-A-M-N-E-D does not mean lost.
No.
Okay. I'll just mention to the audience, if you want to believe, with all due respect, Michael's argument, you're going to have to believe that these people are D-A-M-N-E-D and not lost. If you can believe that, then you can agree with Michael on this passage. I don't think that anybody here can do that. That would be, I guess, to put it kindly, that's absurd. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, is something you didn't get to, but I know that we're so lacking in time, there's no way you could have. Revelation 3, verse 5, and I paired that Revelation 22:19, but it presents the possibility of somebody's name being blotted out of the book of life. And 22:19 talks about if they take away from the Word of God, their heart will be taken out of the book of life. Now, wouldn't the book of life be a list of names of all the saved people, in effect?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so these people have their names in the book of life, but they weren't necessarily saved?
Well, we have to define saved versus born again.
I meant by saved, born again. That's what I mean.
Okay. No.
Okay, so
you can... There are people in the Old Testament that are in the book of life that have never been born again.
Okay, now this is the New Testament. He's talking to people in the church. This happens to be the church in Sardis, chapter 3, verse 1. And he says, their names are in the book of life. Does that mean they've been born again or not? Does that prove they've been born again?
No, because there's people in the book of life that are not born again.
Okay, how did they get their name in there if they weren't born again?
God put their name in there. Is David in the book of life? Of course.
David in the Old Testament?
In the Old Testament. He's not been born again.
Now, I'm talking about in the New Testament times. A person living in New Testament times where the availability of being born again is here. I'm not talking about Old Testament person. Can you get your name in there without being born again if you live now? Like what the people in the church in Sardis, they live in the New Testament times. Can they get their name in the book of life without being born again?
Okay. Anybody living now, they cannot get their name in the book of life without being born again.
So these people whose names are in the book of life in the church of Sardis, were they born again then?
Well, the answer to that would be, from my standpoint, these are not the church age saints. The church age saints are those spoken of over here in Laodicea. This is prophecy. Jesus Christ covers the church ages, and he is not talking to people in the church of Laodicea, which is commonly known as the church age. I know that's pretty clear.
Well, you know, this is strange, but it's not the church age when this is written to people in the church in Sardis. And that is strange that a person can get their name in the book of life, not be born again. When Revelation, I guess when you're trying to defend a false doctrine, you have to go to that degree in denying what the Scriptures plainly teach. Now, let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, your response to this in the debate was, this brethren, in verse 19 to 20, were not brethren in Christ, but because the book was written to the 12 tribes, then I guess you were saying, you mentioned about being brethren in the flesh. And I admit that there are a few times in the New Testament where you have brethren to Jews. But I wanted to ask you about a couple of passages here. In James 3, James 2, verse 1, I wrote down the wrong reference. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. And he goes on and tells them, people come in with, we'd say, cheap clothing. You're not to disregard them just because they don't have expensive clothing. But I believe James 2:1 is saying they have the faith of the Lord Jesus. But when you have that, you can't, it's not right to have respect of persons. Isn't it saying these brethren have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ here in James 2:1?
And like I mentioned, in the tribulation, you have to do faith and works. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ, and you have to have works.
Right, but your response in the debate was these were brethren that were Jews. Now are you saying these are brethren in Christ?
No.
Because it said, okay, so even
well,
though...
According to Romans 9, verse 3, you have Paul here saying, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The word is interchangeable.
Okay, that's right. That's physical brethren, Jews. But in James 2:1, it uses the word brethren, too. And it says they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that Christians?
No, I appeal to the context, James 1:1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He's not writing to any born-again Christians anywhere in this book.
In 2 Peter 2, we talk about escaping the sins of the world. And you said, well, the witnesses, the watchtower folks do that. What would it mean then when it says the sow was washed? Washed with what? Isn't that the sins?
Jesus Christ
represents
said,
sins?
Cast not thy pearls before the swine. He made a clear distinction between his and the lost, which are swine. All through the Bible, swine are always considered lost people, and the only Jesus Christ refers to his own as sheep, not swine.
2 Peter 1 is something I refer to, you didn't have time to get to. It says these people had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Would that mean that they were Christians, if they had been purged from their old sins?
No, just like a golden witness. He gets rid of all of his sins, he lives a good life, knocks doors, he's not born again.
Oh, it's not talking about being forgiven from his sins here, then.
Correct.
Then let me ask you this. Why would the very next verse say, Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, are you saying the watchtower witnesses will get to have an entrance to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Even though they've never been forgiven? You said that's talking about people, not that they were forgiven, but they just left their sin, like the watchtower folks. But this is saying they will have an entrance to the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saying the witnesses are going to get into that kingdom?
No, you're interchanging here. Jews that are living under the law by works that are working their way to heaven, compared to JWs living now that are not born again, that cannot be saved by works. These folks are saved by works. Big difference.